Oh, for pity's sakes, it looks like we're going to have a cold opening for this 29th day of February 2016. This would be the third official Leap Day broadcast of the Head On Radio Network. Our home, of course, is at headonradionetwork.com, and that's where you go if you would like to jump into the chat room where, I don't know, maybe people think that we take leap days off around here, but no, we were on the air. It was very early in our in the genesis of the horn, our first leap day broadcast. We were on the air over on in America's fifth smallest radio market. Yes, namely Beckley, West Virginia. We had been on the air for 25 days. And, well, there's no actual record of that. No. But there is a record of our next Leap Day broadcast, the 29th of February, 2008. That's in the Deep Archives. Mm-hmm. And, well, here, now, this one, I think. I think it's, yes, this is our third. Because I don't think it worked out in the calendar that there was a leap day. Was there a leap day? No. Or if there was, it maybe it did. I don't know. There's math involved. Something about divisible by 4, but if it's divisible by 100, you have to carry the zygote. And oh, hell! It gets ugly in a hurry. But I know that we've had 3 leap day broadcasts, and there is at least an archive of 2 of them, okay? Well, there'll be an archive of 2 of them after tonight's, this evening's, afternoon's, morning's, depending on where you are on the planet. Broadcast is done. Damn, this is complicated. But the upshot, oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Intro music or no intro music. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And yes, people are wandering into the chat room now. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy in Vermont noting loud and clear on TuneIn, cold open, be damned. Got it. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Thomas, for letting me know loud and clear on FYINation.com. And so that means good evening to not just Jeremy in Vermont, but King of Cups and Little Gray and Texas Tea. And, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has folded space, being as he is a third-stage guild navigator, to become Man Cave. Spring has sprung in Northern California. Yeah, I know, the microphone's doing the thing again. Okay, now, see, I kind of whack. And it's, yeah, with that there. Is that better? Is that better, Little Gray? Yes. All I can tell you is that if we say that we're glad that Christmas comes but once a year, I don't know if it would be possible for us to be any gladder that Leap Day comes but every 4. And sweet Jesus, is this like one of those transit of Venus, retrograde motion of the Martian moons kind of things that still has physicists scratching their heads wondering, you know, what sort of deviltry is this that we would have indeed, yes, no kidding, a leap day on, you know, a Moran Monday. Holy crap! I mean, honest to God, I consider it a miracle. Did I do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part? Yep. Cause see, I've been kind of chomping at the bit for 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to roll around since about like Saturday morning, because I can keep this sort of thing to myself only so long. Damn, what a weekend. And I don't mean that I was having any particular, no, it was just another weekend in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, where, among other things, our teabagger legislature has declared that they will bar new science standards from entering the state of West Virginia. And no, I'm not kidding. Because this is their stated reason. It's not being cute. They hesitate. They're not going to let the new science standards in because, and I'm paraphrasing here, but not very far from that, an actual quote. These science standards could have our children beginning to think that with us being a energy economy here in West Virginia, that what the mommies and daddies is a-doing is immoral. I wish I was shining you on. I wish I was funning. But no, I'm not. That's real. The reason the teabaggers in our teabagger-controlled legislature don't want to let in modern science standards is because they're afraid children might learn about climate change and might actually learn about what climate change is doing to this, the only planet that we know of in the entire known universe that harbors the species which we refer to as Homo sapiens. Sapiens. Yes, exactly, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. Fucktards, fucktards everywhere. Oh, and do you have any idea what would happen to the IQ of West Virginia if, say, oh, I don't know, the command battle cruiser from the planet Norblap 12 were to suddenly appear in orbit and turn on its Moran sensor, and all of a sudden it went. And I'm sure it would home in on legislatures like, say, Kansas and Alabama, but it would go bloop, and they'd get good tone on Charleston, West Virginia. And do you realize what would happen to the IQ of the state of West Virginia if suddenly the admiral of the Norblap 12 command battle cruiser gave a piercing look to the weapons officer of the Norblap 12 weapons cruiser, because see, they don't even have to talk; they just think at each other. And then all of a sudden, everybody in the Charleston, in the state capital, who were teabaggers and morans and birthers and deathers and ninthers and tenthers and baggers and booger eaters, and you know, generally the toenail toothpick society just went and like vaporized, you know, no Klaatu Barada Nikto for you, motherfucker. Nuh-uh, no. The IQ of the state of West Virginia would skyrocket. So that's, you know, but that's just here, you know? So, yes, Carol Baker, you are right. Carol posted a little bit ago on Facebook about 5 minutes ago. To say we're suffering from an embarrassment of riches for this Moran Monday would be an understatement. I don't even know if understatement works. Understatement understates it. I mean, sorry. A little bit of business to attend to before we go any further. I had a note from Harold, the CEO and proprietor and head honcho over at the Secret Roundup Open Carry Society. See, I've gotten much better at saying that now. Where are we? Okay, yeah. Harold said, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. See, I left out the Happy Trails part. Damn it! The Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society proudly announces a $29 roundup for all gifts received by the Head On Radio Network up to $290. Also, please recharge the roundup to the nearest dollar fund by $110. If at the end of March any monies remaining be added to the general fund. Happy Trails, signed Harold, CEO. Okay, so you got that? There is going my head is liable to explode with all the ciphering and gazettas that are going to be going on here. But the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society's the roundup program, and this is 2 months of the program now. Every odd dollar amount gets rounded up to the next to the next even dollar amount. So there's that. But because this is leap day, because we can't live on a planet that just has an ordinary orbit around its particular little low-rent pissant star back here in the backwaters of an otherwise unremarkable little galaxy. I mean, unremarkable unless you consider the fact that it may be the only galaxy in the known universe that hosts a solar system that has a planet on it that has, you know, us on it. See Science Standards, West Virginia, etc. We've got this uppedness that winds up where we have to add a day to the calendar every four. So you begin to see the. Mm-hmm. It would be nice. It would be nice. And I would say there are probably there. I haven't calculated them. I have no idea what they are. But I would say that there are pretty good odds that there is a nice little Class M Goldilocks planet out there that just revolves around its star in a nice round number that fits a calendar quite nicely. Not ours. We got the broken one. Of course we did. We got those aliens from Norb. You know what it's like when they laugh on Norblap 12? They all just start looking at each other, raising their eyebrow like Groucho Marx. And mute hilarity ensues. But no, we've got it's leap day. And so, yea verily, lo and behold, there are, there are spaces for those contributing to the horn. You send in $10, it's going to become 39. You send in 20, it becomes 49. You send in 30, 59, 40, 69. You send in 40, it becomes $69. If you contribute 80, it becomes 109. Thanks to Harold, the CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. We have 10 slots. The next 10 contributions. 5 becomes 34. 15 becomes 44. 25 becomes 54. That only took a minute, but you see the point. So thank you very, very kindly, Harold, over at the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. That is much, much appreciated. And hey, another happy announcement. At 14 minutes past the hour on this, the 29th day of February, 2016, we've beaten the Swede. Our buddy Scott has been beaten 2 months in a row. So that means that with that happening, February just went to an extra $60. Now, tomorrow, beginning March, if we do it again, $70 at the end for beating the Swede. We can do this. And, you know, this is still probably the biggest radio bargain in the entire United States. Without a doubt. You know, if you're a $10 a month subscriber, it works out to about less than 17 cents an hour of programming. Pretty impressive. And yes, Gerald pointing out, it's all part of God's plan. The quarter day we gain every year, that is. And we pay it back somewhere. And Harold, Carol says, you are forgiven for your generosity, but you've taken all the fun out of spare change. I'm no longer looking under couch cushions for contributions. Carol is laughing merrily away on this Leap Day 2016 out in Hooterville. Not too, I don't think it's a stone's throw, but not too awfully far from the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Trailer Park and Country Club. No. So, if you want to see your contribution get whooped by $29, the PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. And just, you know, fill out the stuff there. There's a field there that wants to know what you and Ed Norton do down in the New York City underground. But you can leave that blank and just move on, get to the next screen. Okay? Right. So that's there. The mailing address, by the way. And again, we had we're going to be so busy for the rest of the evening. But the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V, 25801. That's for checks, money orders made payable to The Horn, not Bob Kincaid. Bossman Wayne loves being able to leave his spider-proof gloves in the car, in the truck, and just reach in and take out the mail. Lots of good things happen at the mailbox every now and then. We have a new whopping big uninterruptible power supply that's in line right now that I've been testing over the course of the last week, and it is seems to be in magnificent form. But as far as I only offer this as an advisory, cash is probably not the best thing to send. Now, I'm not, it's not that there was cash in this, but for instance, I met with Bossman Wayne, over the weekend. And he handed me a couple of pieces of correspondence, one of which was a lovely, lovely note, handwritten, that had come all the way from Perth, in Australia, which is about halfway from Sydney to, you know, India. It's the part where you stop walking and start swimming. But it was a little unnerving. Because lo and behold, and I don't know who worries about communications between someone in Perth and somebody here, but damned if the thing hadn't been slit open, the contents removed, I presume the letter read, Agent Fred, really? Are you that dead? Look, call the program. We're buddies. You've been listening for over 10 years. But yeah, the mail had been opened, and that is not the first time that that has ever happened. So just a heads up, an FYI. Now. Okay. Now. Now we get to the heart of the matter. Again, without sound effects, sadly, and this will, I'm sure, break Tim from L.A.'s heart, wherever he is. Sadly, without the Calliope music. And by the way, thank you very kindly, Roger in Minnesota. Roger just took advantage of slot number one in the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society's Leap Day offer. Thank you very much, Roger. And by the way, thank yous going out to Bob and Peggy and our subscribers for their help over the weekend in beating the Swede. It was it's really cool to have this leap day here and have the Swede plum whooped. Thank you very much indeed as well to our buddy Horst. And to Jude as well. And CD in Great Britain. And our buddy Charles in Tennessee. No, Jules, I didn't say hash is not a good, probably not a good thing to send. Although hash is probably not a good thing to send. No, I said cash, but you see how that works. Oh, goody, my neighbor with the dirt bike is up and running. Yeah, I'll try to ignore that and not share it with you quite so often. No, okay, we're not going to get started on that. We are not going to get started on that. All right, then. No, this is going to be a weirdly, weirdly busy Morin Monday. You know, of course, and I'm no political neophyte, but I'm just going to get this out of the way. Someday I'm going to figure out. Okay, preface. Preface. I understand how South Carolina can be important to a Republican primary, presidential primary process. I get that. You can't swing a cat. And I don't advise cat swinging generally because I like cats. You can't swing a cat in South Carolina without hitting a Republican. Yeah, you just can't. And, you know, a third of them disagree with, this is a seriously Republican state, y'all. A third of those Republicans you can't swing a cat without hitting. Disagree with the Emancipation Proclamation, still 156, 4-3, yeah. Yeah. Years later, they still disagree. So, okay, and it's a southern state, so it's a bellwether for how your average Klansman, concerned white citizens council member, seditiously oriented Republican. Okay, it works. But having said that, can someone pretty please explain to me, and no disrespect to our good progressive friends and members of the Horn Family Community Congregation in South Carolina, why is South Carolina important in a Democratic presidential primary process? Anybody? Bueller? because, I mean, South Carolina hasn't voted for a Democratic presidential candidate at one point in time. I thought it was since the James Buchanan administration of 1856. But no, it turns out the last time South Carolina went for a Democratic presidential candidate was Jimmy Carter. And they have not since. So, but anyway, those of us who are supporting Senator Sanders were probably disappointed by the results in South Carolina on Saturday evening when Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton did as expected. And won that primary. Shortly thereafter, over at Chicken Noodle News, they actually put up a chyron that said, "No one from something like no one from the Sanders campaign has said yet that he's withdrawing his candidacy." What? I mean, Super Tuesday's not even here. That's tomorrow. Well, doggies. And, of course, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's been campaigning around. She was campaigning in Nash, Vegas the last day or so. Because it's a lot of states to cover. I think Bernie headed off to Minnesota and Colorado at the end of the day on Saturday. Yep, that's a little better.
Damn it.
Ah, okay, yeah, that's, you got to smack it in the right spot. But I guess we're supposed to just assume, somebody on a broom flew over the nation and sky wrote, "Surrender Bernard." Yeah. And I guess people are going, "Wow, yeah, Hillary Clinton's a presumptive Democratic nominee." I don't see it that way. I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders in my primary, and I don't get a vote until May. And I think it is, for those of us who support Senator Sanders, it is absolutely imperative that we remain steadfast in our support. Because if we want the Democratic Party to be anything but the sad, tired, worn out, miserable, tawdry old corporate mess that it has been since 1992, if we're going to change it, we're going to change it now, and this is the candidate with whom we can change it. I mean, so that's where my head is. Because I ran across something, and I thought you might find it interesting. Oh, of course not. Well, it's time to make some more typing noises on the other computer. I know. You all can hear me when I type. I type loudly. Like it's the, you know, I'm in the Saigon Bureau or something. And, you know, maybe this is unfair. I hope it isn't deemed to be. But for those of us who want, who believe in the principles of the Democratic Party that were espoused and put in place by someone like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, LBJ, and yes, even Jimmy Carter, the only president in recent memory, not to involve us in open warfare, then I think we have to remember words like these. This is from an interview with Hillary Clinton back in 1996. You know, about the same time that she was referring to young black men as super predators who had to be brought to heel. And she answers, and look, this is not a smear job. This is Hillary Clinton on Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton on where her values came from. Hillary Clinton on who Hillary Clinton is. Again, being interviewed on NPR's Morning Edition back in 1996.
No. I mean, did you ever back in the 60s, between when I believe you were a Goldwater girl and
That's right.
whatever you became politically?
That's right. And I feel like...
I didn't do that. That's damn sure interesting. Hope it's not going to be like this for the rest of the night.
Became politically.
That's right. And I feel like my political beliefs are rooted in the conservatism that I was raised with. I don't recognize this new brand of republicanism that's afoot now, which I consider to be very reactionary, not conservative in many respects. I'm very proud that I was a Goldwater girl.
There you go. There are better iterations of that out there. But, you know, she, even in 1996, her politics were proudly conservative. Okay, that's fine. And if you, as a member of the Democratic Party, also have proudly conservative Goldwater girl values, vote for her. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's how that works, right? But for those of us who still have FDR values and not conservative Goldwater girl values, we still want a candidate who espouses our values. And so I'm not so sure the primary process is over just yet. And it won't be for me until I have cast my ballot. Okay? Now, that's the political observation, at least of the Democratic contest. Spent some time over the weekend being harangued to a certain extent. And this is the part I don't understand. This is the part I don't understand among the among Hillary's partisans. I continually say, and I know there are those of you who disagree with me, I continually say that if she's the nominee in November, I'm going to vote for her. And there are people out there in the Horn Family Community Congregation who say, oh, hell no. That's your right. Who say, I'll write in Bernie. I'll vote for Jill Stein. But there is no way anybody is ever going to make me vote for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, we just agree to disagree on that point. Not say anybody's wrong. If you're in a safe state, a conscience vote is a real luxury. If you're in a state that... that is, it, you know, if you're in, say, you know, Alabama or South Carolina, and Hillary's the nominee, by all means, feel free to go out and vote for Jill Stein or Ralph Nader or somebody's random left toe. On the other hand, well, if you want to help keep Trump out of the White House, I understand. You weren't mistaken. Ron in Raleigh with a question. Hey, Bob, wait a minute. Didn't Dr. Secretary Senator Clinton say about 2 weeks ago that she's always been a progressive? Maybe I was mistaken. No, you weren't mistaken, Ron. But for some reason or another, I get these remonstrations from people when I say, hey, I'm going to vote for her in November if she's the nominee. And they keep going. As if somehow it's a thing with the Hillary partisans, where I guess I'm not even allowed to have a primary vote. I can't even have a conscience in my primary, which is, of course, you know, where primaries live, or where consciences live. Consciences go to November to die. Carol just shared a photograph with me of a screen of comments on a Facebook page from a friend of hers, Rob. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Carol's friend Rob said, for the record, I love Bernie and Hillary and would vote for either before any of the Republicans, and I will vote no matter what. I have Bernie friends and Hillary friends, and the ones I admire most don't go attacking each other like the Republicans. Followed by someone who said, you're not a Bernie bot. A bot's wall is completely covered with anti-Hillary memes and statements filled with Republican talking points with lies about the Democratic candidate. You know the type I'm talking about. They fill your news feed with negativity every day. So this woman persisted and hammered and hammered and hammered, and I recognize the name. And Carol says, this is how the Hillbots, I call them Hilarians, you know, we can be Bernians and Hilarians. This is how the Hillbots deal with someone attempting to offer a polite point of view that doesn't include fawning. I call these people the vagina demagogues. Rob wasn't the guilty party. No, he wasn't. But his friend Donna, ugh. And you know, I got remonstrated at. Just got a note from Graham in Australia. Hey, Bob, there aren't many safe states left. Jennifer's madly packing. I'm taking her to the airport. She just hollered out, tell Bob Massachusetts is fairly bursting at the seams with fright-wing wackos. She also says to ask you, Bernie's VP, Tulsi Gabbard? To which Jen says, woohoo! Can't he announce this at any time? Well, he could, and he might. But generally, that's something that doesn't happen until somebody's an actual nominee. And Tulsi Gabbard's name has been bandied about because she, in a moment of profound conscience, quit her spot as vice chair. She's a member of Congress, Tulsi Gabbard is. Quit her spot as vice chair of the Democratic National Committee so that she could openly and proudly endorse Bernie. It was met by something similar to the way that MSNBC and NBC News responded to Melissa Harris Perry saying she was tired of being treated like a second-class broadcaster. Well, we're just hurt and confused. Oh, that's what the DNC did with Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah. We're hurt and confused. Yeah, well. note coming from Steve in New York, subject line, proof beyond any doubt, there is at least a Satan. How else could you explain a Democratic presidential candidate saying she was a proud Goldwater girl and a conservative, and then gets to say she's a progressive and people believe it unconditionally? Well, I understand that. I really do. Yes. Jennifer just got just heard my note about issues with the mail. Wait, they slid open a paper-thin airmail envelope? Oh, my God. They took out some photos? There were photos? See, that's why I asked. Because I'm guessing the post office in Perth didn't do that. No, that probably happened in, like, Cincinnati. I've been told by people in the postal service that there's a terrible pilfering problem in Cincinnati. And most everything coming to Charleston and then hence to Beckley goes through Cincinnati. Jen says, Graham writing here, Jen says she included pics of the garden and two empty chairs on the gazebo to be filled by you and Agnes. So they were pillaging for cash and took my pics? Yes, they did. What bottle of wine? Okay, there's a little sidebar conversation going on here. Carol continues over this exchange on Facebook. That woman ordered me to unfriend people and clean up my news feed. Oh, Jesus. And by the way, God endorsed Bernie today. The proof is over on Carol Baker's Facebook wall. You can see it if you know, doubting Thomas's that you may be. Jennifer says, I guess the bottle of wine didn't make it past Perth. Oh, well. Well, you can say, oh, well. I'm more like, oh, damn. I probably not a bad strategy. The angry Indian telling me Bernie gave up his office in Arkansas and requested a rent refund from the landlord. He's abandoned the South. Oh, my wall, Facebook, my wall. Carol put it on my wall. I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. But yes, it's over on my wall, Bob Kincaid, on Facebook. Just go have a look if you wish. There's not a, look, when you're dealing with delegate-rich states like Minnesota and Colorado, there's not a lot to abandon in Arkansas and Alabama and Mississippi, as sad as it is to say. And it is sad to say, because there are hardworking progressives in those states. And there are people who most definitely feel the burn. But they're being drowned out. Let's see. No, I have not seen that, Steve. I'll have to read it later. Tulsi Gabbard, the Democrat that Republicans love and the DNC can't control. That's a rumor, by the way. The Bernie Sanders gave up his office in Arkansas and requested a rent refund. He's abandoned the South. That was heard on Twitter by a supporter of Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. Here's the endorsement by Almighty God of Bernie Sanders. It's from an Ask Me Anything over on, what, Reddit? Your politics, and man, I endorse this wholeheartedly. Your politics is your morality. What you choose to focus on, what is most important to you, indicates what you think is the biggest problem facing humanity. Logically, some issues are more important than others. What will positively impact the most lives is what is the most important. Bernie is against needless and idiotic wars. That prevents millions of innocent people from being murdered. God thinks that is vitally important. Bernie cares about the poor. Bernie cares about those who are struggling against racism and bigotry. Bernie has conquered fear and proven that he is a good and moral human being his entire life. Of course, Bernie looks especially good when compared against other options who are all various degrees of unbelievably slimy and corrupt. These are but a few of the reasons why I, the Lord thy God, have officially endorsed Bernie Sanders. Thou shalt find out how to vote for him now. Vote.BernieSanders.com. Yeah. So, it's been an interesting weekend in Mount Colby gone, to say the very least. And we haven't even gotten into we haven't even gotten into the meat of things, and God knows there's, I mean, we got plenty. Heather just sent in a note. Hello! Like you, I'm voting for the nominee. What's Melissa Harris-Perry really like? She's as sweet as can be. She absolutely is. I liked her letters from Melissa. I have heard you were on her show once. I hope she was hospitable. Oh, she was beyond hospitable. She was an absolute delight to talk to. I was there to talk about the poisoning of West Virginia and, incidentally, mountaintop removal. And she wanted to know in... shut up, Siri. In as much detail as I could provide, we stood there talking in the hallway at Rockefeller Center after the program was over. She wanted to know as much as I could possibly convey to her about mountaintop removal. And she had a wonderful staff. And I understand why she went to bat for them the way that she did. Because nobody who pours heart and soul into a program, a scheduled program, ever likes to be preempted. You just don't. Hence the beauty of being independent, such as we are here. And hey, thank you, Russell. Russell just took up slot number 2 of the 10 slots available in the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society offer for this leap day. And Russell just turned $20 into $49. Yes. Thank you, Russell. There are 8 available slots remaining. Because, you know, these things only happen once every 4 years, and when we get into the meat of the program, you'll understand why I'm beginning to be glad about that. Ron in the wastes of frozen Canada says, you're sounding righteous this evening. You need to get a sound effect of thunder in the background, or perhaps the crack of lightning followed immediately by thunder. All these things are on a list. All these things will come to pass. Yeah. By the way, I found out something over the weekend just to... sort of watching, paying attention. Thinking that a getaway plan may be necessary. Now, I have, you know me, I'm the stand and fight guy. They've blown up an entire state around me. I'm still here. Still fighting. Comes with the genetic turf. But by the time we're done, well, a president, Drumpf, and you've seen, I trust by now, the clip from John Oliver where they did some digging around. Um, John Oliver's folks did some research, and they found out that apparently back upon immigration to the United States, because all white folks were immigrants once upon a time, at some point in time, the Trump name was not Trump. It was Drumpf, D-R-U-M-P-F. H? No H. Drumpf. Man, I can do that R. And so John Oliver launched a hashtag, which I encourage everyone to participate in, Make Donald Drumpf Again. Yeah. Enjoy it. Go. The clip is at my Facebook page if you want to go and see it. His epic, and I mean it's epic, takedown of Donald Drumpf. Enjoy. But the idea of a President Drumpf is deeply disturbing. Son of a gun. Now I am upset. Jennifer tells me it was a very fine Cabernet Sauvignon produced at the vineyard owned by the parents of one of the guys who works for us. Okay, I'm leaving for the airport and coming home to go to work for Bernie. I'll bring another bottle in my carry-on and post it to West Virginia from Pittsburgh. Feeling the burn. Can't wait to hit the ground. Jeez, did you just hear that? Jen is leaving Perth and flying to America to do on-the-ground, door-knocking, whatever needs to be done work for Bernie Sanders. A freaking amazing. Amazing indeed. So, Oh, I know where I was. So I saw this thing. Apparently, Cape Breton Island in Canada is looking for people to come and live there. And it looks absolutely beautiful. Rocky cliffs, beautiful vistas. I guess a connection to some degree of French-Canadian culture. Yeah, I get it. But there's even a website, you know, it's like come live on CapeBretonIsland.com. Now, to be fair, in the video, all they showed was Cape Breton Island, a forest, a sea of greenery. I'm guessing that must have been shot on the 4th of July. Although Ron says Cape Breton Island is absolutely fucking beautiful. It becomes even more interesting. It's about 6 minutes before the hour. And I'm having to do a lot of typing because on one machine because it's just not, well, we're having problems with the other one. One moment. Okay, a little clarification coming from Ron now. Cape Breton Island is abso-fucking-lutely beautiful for 8 months of the year. The Cabot Trail is one of those must-drives for tourists who like to take the slow scenic route. Some periodical wrote it up as the best motorcycle ride, one of the best motorcycle rides in the world. Yeah. So I kind of got in a... I got in a Canadian music kick. And as I contemplated life as un Canadien, can't qualify as un habitant because, you know, the genealogy is just wrong. Tempting nonetheless. Well, I guess it's my fault Jen is off from Perth to America. Jen says, your words, Bob, I will never have another chance like this in my lifetime. Jen says, okay, this is it. I've got my stash of Valium. I detest flying. I've hugged my cats, I've got my pocket constitution, and I presume that's, and I'm out the door. Well, see, that's true. In regard to Cape Breton Island, Carol points out, it beats the hell out of 12 months in Trumplandia. Oh, and by the way, Donald Trump. Has declared that clean coal is coming back. Thought we were going to get all the way through an election season without me hearing that obnoxious phrase that sends me into paroxysms of swearing. All right, see you, Jennifer. Let us know when you get on the ground. In Cape Breton Island, housing's cheap, the food and music are wonderful, and the hospitality ranks right up there with the best of Appalachia. That ain't a recommendation, Ron. If you like fiddles and Acadian music, food that is the root of much of the best Cajun food, this is the place to go. Okay, we're back to liking it again. I ain't leaving Appalachia to get back to Appalachia. That's just, no. Randy in PA says, I've driven the Cabot Trail Circular Highway on Cape Breton Island in the province of Nova Scotia many times. When it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit in high summer in the U.S. on the 4th of July, it's 85 degrees Fahrenheit in Nova Scotia. That actually kind of sounds like my weather. I need to hear more about the winters. Because I'm thinking, just that whole coastal, the wind has got to just come howling off the North Atlantic, doesn't it? Because, see, I'm afraid that there's, and we'll talk about this in the second hour, but I'm afraid there's a real possibility of President Drumpf. I'm terrified of it, as a matter of fact. Glenn says, it's beautiful, Cape Breton Island, French to the west and Scottish to the east. Stunning. GK says, in regard to subject line, that Clinton kid. Went to a Bernie rally over the weekend and was pleased to see all the young people there. The rally was very diverse. Everybody was chatty and in good spirits. Contrast that with Hillary sending her kid here today to stump for Hillary. You see, Rochester is the last large repig-licking stronghold in the state. That's where the Mayo Clinic is, isn't it? Well, yes, of course. Hillary must be sure she will win this state. Representative Tina Libling, my representative, broke ranks with the DNC here and has come out for Senator Sanders. I've had conversations with her, Representative Libling, about how much Sanders' views align with hers and mine. In fact, she introduced Bernie Sanders to the crowd of 2,000 to 3,000 cheering supporters. I'm excited for caucus night because this will be my first one. in years past, the Democratic candidates put forth were much the same. Not so much this time around. If Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton starts hollering, "Surrender, Bernard," how much excitement is that going to take out of the campaign? It's a fair question. You think all the young people who are showing up for Bernie are going to show up for her? I hope. I mean, if she turns out to be the nominee, I hope they do. Because, as we will examine in the second hour, I desperately don't want President Drumpf. And see that the alternative to that is, then little Marco Rubio or Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time, well, they'll be president. Or if it's not one of those, maybe it'll be John Kasich. Because, you know, he's not the nice guy. Okay, let's get that straight. He's not the nice guy. Or, barring all of that, because of Republican convention rules, committed delegates are only committed for the first vote. And so, off in some lavish mansion in L.A., with Rafalka whinnying in the background, Blucher! Yeah! Bishop Willard Romney is planning his comeback. And there are none of those alternatives. There's not a one that doesn't just bend my bowels and send chills up my spine and make the little hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Because any of those alternatives with a Republican Congress, whew, Mother McCree, Katie, bar the door. Note coming in from Thomas. As your official born-again Democratic Socialist, I am proud of the work. I am not proud. Not what? As your official born-again Democratic Socialist, I'm proud of the work I did for the Republicans when I was an activist in the parties. I am not, however, proud of what the Republican Party has become. I think that's what Hillary was trying to say. I made the choice to abandon a party that left me. I've never heard Hillary talk about this, so I can't say what is in her heart. What I can say is it hurts me personally to no end when good progressive Snidely says she was a Goldwater girl. Well, I was a George H.W. Bush supporter. At least I picked the genuine article in 1992. Not mad at you or the Horn listeners, but it hurts me deeply when I feel like people can't evolve when you have someone in your midst who clearly has. I think we need to look at people's character and if they can change. And I think you can. I don't think Hillary has. I'm clearly torn on this subject with Hillary being a Goldwater girl. Signed, Thomas. P.S. Sorry for the preemptions. No worries. That's the thing. That's the question. Has there been an evolution? Or is it all just a cynical ploy to accede to power? And I don't have a satisfactory answer for that. I just don't. I wish I did. But I don't. There's too much smoke not to be any fire. Charlie asks, is there really any difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? Be honest. Well, yeah. She is vastly more intelligent than Donald Trump. And she has a degree of ambition and desire for power. You know, Trump started this thing out, I think. I still think he started it out as a lark. And then suddenly he went, wow, I could get the nomination. Hillary's wanted to be president since Bill won. And apparently, if you read the biographies and the histories and everything, the deal was, I get to be president first, and then you do. Okay. But, no, she's vastly more intelligent. I may be a fool for it, but I trust her to at least, with caveats out there, I mean, there are some scary caveats out there, at least not to sell out a woman's right to choose, even if she sells out everything and everybody else, not to sell that out. So, yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference. I don't know what it would mean in terms of the Supreme Court, because I'm weird. I don't think the Supreme Court is a place that is known for ever having been much in the way of a liberal institution. Subject line, South Carolina. Steve in New York says, she beat the shit out of Bernie. I get that. What's so demoralizing is the beating of expectations that much. Also, and steering clear from white-splaining, I don't get my fellow minority brothers and sisters' love of her. Same thing for GLBT people. Steve continues and says, in terms of evolving, I can't believe a progressive would be that much in the bag with bankers. I just can't buy the transformation. And look, did anybody, GK writing earlier about Chelsea coming to Minnesota, did anybody ask Chelsea what she, who lives in a $10 million Manhattan, midtown, or whatever, I don't know, but a $10 million Manhattan apartment, what she has in common with a family that's working three or four jobs, mom and dad, dad and dad, mom and mom, working three or four jobs to try to keep their heads above water? Anybody ask that question? Or, you know, how you get your kid a job, an entry-level job at $500,000 a year. How's that supposed to resonate with somebody whose kid's only hope, A, ain't college because they can't afford it, and B, not because they can't get in, but because they cannot afford it. Because there are no jobs coming out of college in a place like this that are going to support student loan paybacks of $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $1,000 a month. Because those kind of jobs just don't exist in abundance for recent college graduates. I know too many of them. I know a trained speech pathologist who is instead busy being one of the best restaurant servers in the county. I know other people from other disciplines who are working similar gigs. How do you establish resonance between your kid, whom you helped get $500,000 a year job, and somebody who's working below minimum wage and praying to Jesus for tips? I don't know. So at 10 past the hour, we're going to take a little break. There are 8 remaining slots in this February 29th secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Leap Day extravaganza. Every contribution, no matter how large, no matter how small, gets rounded up by $29, and through another secret open carry roundup society program, all loose change gets rounded up to the nearest next dollar as well. So that's on the table for this evening. And thank you one and all for your participation. All right, so let's see. What would it sound like if I moved to Cape Breton Island? Let's find out. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Okay, I think I could handle Cape Breton Island. There's actually a story behind that music. The Angry Indian says, I'm flashing back and forth between Jethro Tull and Spinal Tap with that music. And, well, given that it goes back to about 1978, that's probably a pretty good call, Angry. They had a couple of dudes with some seriously Jethro Tull hair. Yeah. It was a band called Bard, B-A-R-D-E, and yeah, they were Canadian. And I guess maybe I was high school sophomore or junior, and they all put us little high school rednecks from the French class in a bus, and we drove down to Birmingham, 125 miles away, to see this group play. And they were just electric. They were magical. And while down there, I bought the vinyl. The vinyl disappeared a long time ago. But I saw the Cape Breton Island thing, and it reminded me of this bunch, and I found them. I found them over on Amazon.com, Bard, B-A-R-D-E, and the album is Image, I-M-A-G-E-S. Yeah, I can live with it. And there's a heartbroken love song on there that'll just, oh, Jesus, it'd make a stone weep in its beer. Mm-hmm. So apparently, yeah, the Scots influences and French influences, that can't possibly be dangerous. Carol Baker said, I can live with this music. Yeah, I can too, very easily. There you go. Yeah, Ron and Raleigh said, my flashback. Hey, Bob, remember Steel Eye Span? Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm a nerd. You better believe it. Mm-hmm. All right, time to quit fooling around. It's time to deal with Moran Monday. Because you cannot have this many morons and just leave them laying around. It all starts pretty much here. Sunday. When Donald Trump went on TV on Chicken Noodle News, because they won't just let him phone it in anymore. And was talking to Jake Tapper and the business of his being endorsed by David Duke of the Klan. Well, it came up in conversation.
I want to ask you about the Anti-Defamation League, which this week called on you to publicly condemn unequivocally the racism of former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke, who re-said that voting against you at this point would be treason to your heritage. Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because, you know, I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists. And so you're asking me a question that I'm supposed to be talking about people that I know nothing about. But
yeah, okay. Okay. So far, I despise him, but you can't hold him responsible for what some grand wizard does out there somewhere. Noble Kleagle, I rise. No. You know, if the American Nazi Party endorses Donald Trump, and they have, haven't they? Not sure. It ain't his fault. he didn't, unless he, you know, unless there's a letter or a tweet or an email or something, say, "Dear American Nazi Party, I think you're huge. Would you please endorse me? It'll be great. It'll be a wonderful," he doesn't even use a word as big as wonderful, does he? No. It would be great. It would be tremendous. He does use tremendous. Unless there's one of those, you really can't nail him for that, can you? No. So, all right. And he doesn't know who David Duke is. Shh, I think he did. I think he tweeted about David Duke once, but we're going to take that as read. But so, you know, I don't know who this guy is. Okay, so shut up. Shut up, Donald Trump. Shut up. He can't. What are we talking about here?
I guess the question from the Anti-Defamation League is, even if you don't know about their endorsement, there are these groups and individuals endorsing you. Would you just say unequivocally you condemn them and you don't want their support?
Well, I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about.
Okay, this is where it begins to fall apart. What is this clan? I do not know this clan of which you are speaking, Jim Kirk. Give me another of those kisses. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. But that's where, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never heard of them. I wasn't there. I didn't do it. And even if I did do it, and I was there, I was only following orders. Right? What?
You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I'd have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them, and certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. And
Tapper's actually going to make this point here in a second. We're not talking about these groups, Donald. We're talking about the Klan. The Ku Klux Klan. Not the other Klan. Not Klan McDonald and there can be only one. No, the Ku Klux Klan.
Send me a list of the groups. I will do research on them. And certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. But you may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups, and I'll let you know.
Okay. I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here, but...
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know David Duke. I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him, and I just don't know anything about him.
All right.
You know, I think the all right part is my favorite part of that clip. I have never heard of no Klan. I don't know no David. All right. Oh, hey, the coal's been lighted. It's not even the cold tonight. But, oh, well, what the hell. All right. Man, that's some journalism. All right. Because where can you go from there? Now, later on, somebody got close enough to him and said, "Hey, Donald, the Klan, you know, bedsheets, robes, lynchings, house burnings, murders, Viola Liuzzo. Who is she? No. Birmingham church bombings. That Klan. I definitely disavow that. Yeah, sure. So then it gets worse. Or better. No one has loved on Donald Trump. I'm sorry. Donald Trump. No one's loved on Donald Trump quite the way that Joe Scarborough has. Freaking coal smoke. I hate it. Clasutis! Oh, sorry. Nobody has loved on him the way Scarborough has. And so it came as a real sad surprise and, as Ron in Canada notes, I call bullshit. Yeah, absolutely, Ron. I mean, Joe Scarborough has been a fan Well, then this. This morning on Morning Scar.
I'm going to lay out what happened.
Sure. All right. Then
so here it is. Donald Trump plunged back into controversy yesterday for his refusal to disavow former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard David Duke after Duke encouraged his supporters to volunteer in Trump's campaign.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because, you know, I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists. And so you're asking me a question that I'm supposed to be talking about people that I know nothing about.
But I guess the question from the Anti-Defamation League is, even if you don't know about their endorsement, there are these groups and individuals endorsing you, would you just say unequivocally you condemn them and you don't want their support?
Well, I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I'd have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them, and certainly
Yeah. Okay. So the clip's over, and we cut back to this duo that Charlie Pierce refers to as Squint and the Meat Puppet.
That's disqualifying right there. It's breathtaking. That is disqualifying right there. To say you don't know about the Ku Klux Klan, you don't know about David Duke, and the most stunning thing, Willie Geist, is...
It was here.
This isn't buying him a single vote. I mean, is he really so stupid that he thinks Southerners aren't offended by the Ku Klux Klan?
Time and scene. Because see, this is where Joe and I part company. Nah, who am I kidding? We've always parted company. And just one of those little things that Joe Scarborough cannot admit about his party. His sick, psychotic, racist, bigoted, nativist, homophobic, xenophobic party. Joe Scarborough apparently thinks that white Southerners are going to be put off by Donald Trump refusing to distance himself from a former grand dragon of the Klan and the Klan itself. Joe Scarborough apparently thinks that Donald Trump saying he doesn't know who the Klan are is somehow going to make white Southern Republican voters roll their eyes and wobble their necks and go, oh, I can't believe he said that. Mercy sakes. My goodness gracious. I was just talking to the Kliegel the other day, and did I say that out loud? That's true. Because just in case you think that this was some transcendent moment of sanity, Carol points out, Moaning Joe and Mika the Meat Puppet had to back down. Their career dissipation lights were working overtime. You can't redline on the what the fucks per minute meter and get away with it. But this isn't going to put off any Trump voters. Trump. If anything, this will draw more Trump voters to him. Because you see, there's many people down now in the South that still think that until it got a bit out of hand, the Klan was doing a useful social service, keeping order where chaos could have easily erupted. You know, by basically becoming a corn-pone version of Murder Incorporated. Joe Scarborough is trying to keep up appearances. He's trying to make it seem like there's something somewhere respectable about the Republican Party. That there's something worth saving. There's not. There's not. It's I mentioned Charlie Pierce. He's done as good a job or better than anybody charting the course of the Republican Party that begins when? It depends on which part of the historical roulette wheel you want to stick your finger on and make it stop. The fact that Social Security was passed in the Roosevelt administration without a single Republican vote. And that they were screaming it would lead to the collapse of the United States. Or there's the hissy that Strom Thurmond threw in 1948 with Harry Truman having integrated the military because he was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces and could do that. Or the white flight and Christian academies that arose in the South as a result of, and most of you probably know this, as a result of school desegregation. Well, they're just not ready to be part of, us, you understand? We gotta move slowly, and so, you know, that's why we give them their own schools, you understand? And now that they're going to have to go to school with our children, no, we're going to form us some Christian academies. And then there's, you know, Barry Goldwater in 1964. See above. Or there's any number. But Goldwater, and then George Wallace. George Wallace, who played to packed houses in 1968 in states like Michigan and Wisconsin, who said there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Where have we heard that before, Ralph Nader? Yeah. And on through the Nixon Southern strategy that was nothing but poisonous, baseless appeals to long-laying, deep white terror. But then, oh then, sweet Jesus, oh then, Ronnie Reagan. And that's when the roller coaster stopped going down and up and down and up and just climbed to terrifying heights and is still plunging today. It's as if Joe Scarborough has no idea that any of that happened. Yeah, he's just a good Newt Gingrich contract on America, fiscal conservative. When in point of fact, the contract on America was smack dab in the middle of all that race-baiting, miserable bullshit. But let's continue.
David Duke, is he really so ignorant of Southern voters that he thinks this is the way to their heart? To go neutral? To play Switzerland when you're talking about the Klan? And to say he doesn't know enough information about the Klan to condemn them? Exactly what does Donald Trump expect to learn
in
the next 24 hours about the Klan?
Yeah.
What? I don't get it.
It's hard to imagine an easier political question than will you disavow David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan? Unless you don't want to really disavow David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan because...
Or if you're pretty sure that there's a bigger voting base in the Deep South that actually still thinks the Klan's pretty cool. Like, for instance, Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Hood, the junior senator from Alabama, who once said, you know, I thought the Klan was a pretty good bunch once upon a time, before I found out they smoked the marijuanas. You know, that shit is real in the South. And there still bubbles along, simmers along, lines of conversation that you can hear when you get about down around the halfway point of a group of 5 or 10 good old boys, and you're about the halfway point of that 1.75 liter bottle of Jack Daniels. Well, they come down here and the federal government rams this equality down our throats with a bunch of outside agitators. Shit! You think that isn't happening right fucking now? Somewhere? In Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Oklahoma, fucking Texas, Arizona, Idaho, Missouri. Sure it is. And it did yesterday, and it will tomorrow, and the day after that. Because that is the real America. And with only the slightest change, to what is written on Drumpf's hat, you get the reality of his campaign, Make America Hate Again. You know, openly and notoriously. Not quietly and in private social circumstances. James says, this reminds me of the congressional hearing in Godfather 2, where the witness suddenly gets selective amnesia upon seeing his brother sitting next to Michael Corleone. Mafia? What mafia? Never heard of the Ku Klux Klan. Robes, pointy hats, pillowcase. Yeah, never heard of them. I mean, it's an easy political question. Why can't you? Because it's Republicans you're talking about, Willie Geist. How simple are these people? They're not simple. They're covering.
You think that sends a signal to some fraction of the voters who you need to hold on to for Super Tuesday? Will this hurt him on Super Tuesday? Maybe not.
No.
But if you start looking ahead, if you believe Donald Trump is the nominee to a general election and a television ad in which Donald Trump will not disavow the Ku Klux Klan, and you know as a Republican you have to win a share of black voters, a share of Latino voters, or a share of any voter.
Hey,
whatever color they are. How about white, suburban housewives?
How about starting there?
How about listening to another candidate for president who was once asked a very similar question as the one that Jake Tapper asked Donald Trump? And that candidate replied, "Those of us in public life can only resent the use of our names by those who seek political recognition for the repugnant doctrines of hate they espouse. The politics of racial hatred and religious bigotry practiced by the Klan and others have no place in this country and are destructive of the values for which America has always stood."
Naturally, Mike Barnicle is reading something somebody else wrote.
That was Ronald Reagan in 1984.
Who won 49 states, by the way.
Yeah.
Who announced his campaign in Neshoba County, Mississippi. The beating heart of the Ku Klux Klan.
The backlash was
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I don't get it.
What's the purpose? It's that you don't know the Klan?
So...
Who does this help?
The Klan. Whether we found it to be repugnant or not, the ban on Muslims concept, which is impossible, you could see in the exit polls a large swath of primary voters in the early states who supported the Muslim ban.
Well, you know, we did find...
Yeah, Mika, they do. And they support building a goddamn wall. And they support the idea that Mexicans are rapists. And that Megyn Kelly has blood coming out of her whatever. And they continued to support him when he said that John McCain's no war hero, that he's a loser. The fault isn't with those people. I mean, yeah, it's their fault. They're mean-spirited, bigoted, hateful, xenophobic, nativist, nasty, prejudiced. Did I get to racist yet? And they are, if not a majority, at least a very noisy plurality of the voting citizenry of this country. Mika, you fucking simpleton, why do you think the Republicans have passed so goddamned many voter suppression, voter ID laws? Because those, Mika, are the people that the Republicans want voting. Not the wrong coloreds. Not the people with vowels on the ends of their names. They want white people who want to make America hate again. That's what they want. This ain't rocket science. All you gotta do is wake up and realize who the American people are. In large part. But then again, that would tear the curtain back from the wizard's booth, wouldn't it? You can't sit there from 6 to 9 every blessed morning, weekdays, and talk about salt of the earth, American people, when you realize who those American people are. Your entire little edifice of stinking, fly-blown, maggot-infested bullshit comes down around your ears. Fact. Let's let them wrap up.
find it repugnant. That's another thing I point out in the
Washington, are we gonna find the Washington that Post 74% this morning of people
that we attacked Trump that morning. That's the morning that we hung up on him. You said it was frightening, a frightening policy. I asked, is this how Nazi Germany looked in 1933?
Mm-hmm.
And his numbers went up in the poll. South Carolina exit poll just from last week said 75% of Republicans that voted in the South Carolina primary last week supported his Muslim ban. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there that, you know, we said early on that Trump was going to do very well. And a lot of people slammed Trump and trashed him, said he was all...
Yeah, shut up, Joe. So, the genie's out of the bottle now. When Donald Trump marches across the South tomorrow on Super Tuesday and wins in Alabama and wins in Tennessee and wins in Georgia, do you suppose Joe's going to come on Tuesday morning and say, well, shit, I guess we are a nation of fucking racists, aren't we? No, there'll still be more hand-wringing and excuse-making and, oh my goodness. He talks about the 71% of South Carolina voters who support a ban on Muslims entering the United States. Joe, drill down, boobala. Find that number that shows a third of them disagree with the Emancipation Proclamation and wish the South had won the Civil fucking War. Find that, Joe. Don't bet on it. Don't bet on it.
And then they move to the point of, well, I'm just going to criticize Trump, but I'm not going to criticize his supporters. For whatever reason. I think if 75% of people in South Carolina say it's okay to ban over a billion Muslims from coming into America, it's all right to criticize them, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's safe. If 40% of Donald Trump voters in South Carolina support the abolition of mosques in America, it's all right to criticize them, too.
Right.
I know there are a lot of reporters that are trying to get their arms around Donald Trump and exactly what this is about.
Well, it wasn't your arms that you had around Donald Trump, Joe. It wasn't your arms. No. It wasn't your arms. Yeah, Ron in Canada pointing out, Joe so much wants to be relevant. I think he wanted to be Trump's vice president. Iran says, I predict Squint and the Meat Puppet will look for an interview about when Dumbfuck is going to schedule Kristallnacht. You know, the Muslim-y version. Wouldn't surprise me a damn dime's worth.
But it's all right to attack his supporters, too, if they support the banning of an entire religion or the banning of keeping Muslims from this country.
No, but my point was that you could see his strategy. You could see him playing into what people are feeling.
Yeah, right. She's a prophet.
And I was not surprised to see that the ban on Muslim, albeit repugnant, actually got him votes.
Yeah, and we actually said that then. Mike, we actually said it that morning.
And so will the Klan business. You'd think this was somehow confusing. You'd think that somehow or another this just came from some crazy place. Perspective from David in South Carolina. Yet all the same media folks demanded that Barack Obama disavow Reverend Wright. Why? Because Reverend Wright, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, decorated veteran, pulled open the barn door and said, "God damn America for the wicked things it has done." But of course, Mussolini, Caribou Barbie, Godzilla from Wasilla only heard "God damn America." Good thing we're just a small community, because, you know, for years I've been saying that politicians and presidents in particular should stop ending speeches with "God bless America" and get real serious with, you know, if you're taking this stuff seriously, get down and dirty with the Old Testament prophets and start saying "God forgive America." Because we got a lot of atoning to do. A lot. So there's that. And then, of course, because America, pop culture moment, I trust everybody saw or has seen by now the clip of Chris Rock's opening monologue at the Academy Awards last night. It was funny in a very, very uncomfortable way. Like when he referred to the Oscars as the White People's Choice Awards. Or when he said that back in the 50s and 60s, black folks weren't protesting Oscars so white because, well, they had other things to worry about, like being raped and lynched, and therefore didn't have time to care care much about who won Best Cinematographer. Perspective. This has, of course, caused a shit hemorrhage among the usual suspects. Because he went on and he also mentioned grandma hanging from a tree. And said, and there were a couple other things tucked in there, too, that were damned brilliant as well. For instance, he said, if a committee made the selection for who hosts the Oscars, I wouldn't even have the job, and you'd all be sitting here watching Neil Patrick Harris. Kind of wondered how Neil Patrick Harris felt about that. Yeah. So, again, yeah, people had a fit. And let's see here. Who was it? I hope we're going to get all the way through the program tonight. I mean, I don't mean like the program's going to end peremptorily, but we just got so much damn stuff. A producer by the name of Jürgen Pichler-Levine had a little bit of a meltdown on Instagram, he thought there were too many black folks at the Oscars. He said, Weiss, and Jürgen Pichler Levine is an Austrian who lives in Texas. He said, "Why is this Oscar party as black? I am freaking out. Obama, get out and let us alone. Hashtag Oscars, hashtag suck, hashtag Academy, hashtag awards, hashtag mess, hashtag what the hell is this comedy? The worst Academy Awards in history. Stallone will get his award, and that's sure, and it's not happened yet. He deserves it. God bless America, but not these monkeys." Liebe mein Absmonkey. No, he didn't say that part. But not these monkeys! Mm-hmm. So there's that. And it on and on. And of course, most of this is going to come our way via Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has a guy on hand to do black people commentary named Kevin Jackson. Get the hockey puck. If you haven't already chewed a couple into, get the hockey puck.
Hey, it's the biggest night in Hollywood, Ainsley, but before any golden statues were handed out last night, Oscars host Chris Rock, as expected, wasted no time highlighting this year's controversy.
I'm here at the Academy Awards.
We talked about this. Let's get to the racism.
All right, here to react to that and so much more is Fox News contributor and executive director of Blacksphere.net and author of Race Pimping, Kevin Jackson. Kevin, everyone was waiting for...
I just love that phrase, race pimping.
...the open, and we saw some other features throughout the three-hour-long show. What did you think?
Brian, first, thanks for having me on the longest Black History Month we've had in a few years, right?
Yep, got the leap year. Look,
It was tragic. It was fun, though, watching a group of white racist liberals get put back on them the things that conservatives face every single day. Outside of that, though, we've got a real quandary because...
Wait, the things conservatives face every day? They won't seat you at the lunch counter, will they? Can't buy a home in a nice neighborhood because you're conservative? Conservatives out there swinging from trees like strange fruit. Yeah, I didn't think so. We got a winner here.
At the end of the day, you can't say that Hollywood is racist. Blacks have been getting awards in proportionate numbers for the last couple of decades, as the actual stats show.
What?
And so at the same time that I'm enjoying watching these very sanctimonious liberals suffer, I also know that it's not good for the country that we go through this. And Chris Rock, I got to tell you, it was probably the worst performance I've seen in the Oscars. And I haven't watched it in years, but it was definitely one of the ones.
I love those. I haven't watched it in years, but it was the worst performance I've seen in years. Because y'all pay me to come out and say this shit. Check clear? Cool. Yeah, Chris Rock sucks.
That I wish I had a chance to miss.
Really? So you were not impressed with his open?
You didn't want to miss it, because if you'd missed it, you wouldn't be there on the electric TV box collecting your Fox check.
You weren't impressed with that the interstitial there with when he went over to Compton to talk to people there about what movies they saw?
Yeah, you know, look, there are movies that many movies for years a lot of people don't watch. He could have gone to areas of Missouri and people would have said the same thing. It has nothing to do with that. These are people who are professionals in their industry that are watching these things. But I think it was more just this idea of how he was treating Hollywood as being so racist because black people hadn't been nominated. And what was interesting about the Oscars this year is they talked about who had won, how many awards they'd won or hadn't been snubbed, like Leonardo DiCaprio had been nominated this many times. But I think what really got people going was when he did a lot of the things like Whoopi Goldberg in the background with the mop and the white actress couldn't get her lines out while the black lady was trying to get into the scene. It was so over the top that Hollywood was racist. And even some of the comments he made about, the sorority girls and things like that, I think America's really quite sick of it. And it was fun to watch the audience's reaction where they had this tepid response to clap.
Hey, Kevin, here's the thing. If Hollywood didn't come off so condescending to the rest of the world, they know more about the environment, they know more about the planet, they know more about society, and the rest of the world just can't catch up to them. And then to see them being accused of this, and the stats don't lie, for the last 2 years, not one nominee, and I am not a thespian, nor do I teach acting classes down the street, so I'm not going to be the judge whether they're right or wrong. But they are the ones who are always condescending and condemning.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Brian Kilmeade. You are full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. A tale told by an idiot.
Of the rest of us, and they are perhaps the worst offender. Kev, thanks so much for your...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's not... The hashtag wasn't Hollywood so white. It was Oscars so white. And you know what? The cinematographer or the editor or the Foley artist, whatever. There's not a whole bunch of them that get Academy Award votes. Yeah, there's a few thousand members of the Academy. But there's tens of thousands of people, hundreds maybe, of thousands, who make their living in the film industry. But sweet suffering Jesus. It it's astonishing to see, and this is a conversation we could have. We could start on a Monday and not be done by the following one. The suppurating wound of racism that got the scab peeled off with the inauguration of Barack Obama, and that is not a criticism of Barack Obama. Maybe had we gotten President McCain and Vice President Dipshit in 2008, we'd still be cruising along thinking, we're not that racist anymore. I mean, we got over it a little bit. Yeah, you know, cops would still be gunning down young black people in the streets, like, say, what happened in Utah here in the last few days, where the cops came in and gunned down a kid with a broom in his hand. Yeah. Or. But the white folks wouldn't be able to say, well, it's because that... because of the race pimp in chief there in the White House, and maybe Fox wouldn't have a token enabler on their program. But then this. With his daddy being critiqued for not immediately saying, the Klan? I hate the Klan, which any decent human being would do. And by the way, we know, we really do know why it is he's silent on the Klan, right? Because his daddy was a Klansman. Remember that story? Donald Trump's daddy was one of, I think, seven men arrested following a riot in Jamaica, Queens. That was precipitated by a Klan rally against Catholics. The Klan marched. They started a brawl. And old man Trump was one of those arrested. The records are there. They've been dug up. Trump responded to it by saying, it's not true. It's not a word of truth to it. It never happened. Yeah, only except it did. That's why he's so hesitant. To deal with the Klan, because it runs in his family, and he doesn't have the courage to deal with it. The fights that broke out in Queens occurred after 1,000 KKK members dressed in white hooded robes marched through the Jamaica neighborhood. The address of the elder Trump from the arrest report matched the Jamaica address where he lived, according to the 1930 census. Fred Trump Sr. was among seven men arrested following a May 30, 1927 brawl between members of the KKK and the New York Police Department. It's real. Maybe that's why David Duke came out and said, hey, Trump has the same positions as I do. The Klan needs to support him. The Klan are real. And you know what? The flyer that went along with that KKK march in 1927, it was practically a Trump presidential position statement. Liberty and democracy have been trampled upon when native-born Protestant Americans dare to organize to protect one flag, the American flag, one school, the public school, and one language, the English language. It's real. So, enter stage right. Trump Jr. Because apparently they're wealthy, but nobody ever taught them the first law of holes. And then there's the pro-Trump PAC, American Freedom Party. These calls have been, these robocalls have gone out in both Vermont and Minnesota. And understand, this is one of the reasons politicians ought to want to get rid of PACs. Because you can't control them. This is a pro-Trump PAC that Trump has no control over.
The American National Super PAC makes this call to support Donald Trump. I am William Johnson, a farmer and white nationalist. The white race is dying out in America and Europe because we are afraid to be called racist. This is our mindset. It's okay that our government destroys our children's future, but don't call me racist. I'm afraid to be called racist. It's okay to give away our country through immigration, but don't call me racist. It's okay that few schools anymore have beautiful white children as a majority, but don't call me racist. Gradual genocide against the white race is okay, but don't call me racist. I'm afraid to be called racist. Donald Trump is not a racist, but Donald Trump is not afraid. Don't vote for a Cuban. Vote for Donald Trump. 213-718-3908. This call is not authorized by Donald Trump.
Yokey dokey then. Now, when this kind of thing has happened in the past, Trump has said, hey, a lot of people like me. Yeah. But yeah, over at Fox and Fiends, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump showed up to talk Super Tuesday with the political geniuses there. Check it out.
Well, with less than 24 hours until Super Tuesday, Donald Trump holds a dominant lead as Marco Rubio takes a page from his book and goes on the attack.
He's always calling me Little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me, he's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? They're like this. And you know what they say about men with small hands? He doesn't sweat. He doesn't sweat because his pores are clogged from the spray tan that he uses. Donald is not going to make America great. He's going to make America orange.
We're being dragged back into middle school, aren't we? Yes, we are. It was traumatic enough then. And you know what? It's still no fun. Yeah? Your mama. Yeah, you're so ugly. When you were a baby, they had to tie a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to play with you. Ah! Well, this certainly does escalate and whatever the dialogue, doesn't it?
Will these last-minute attacks work? Here to react, Donald Trump's sons, Eric and Donald Trump Jr. Thank you guys for coming in this morning.
Great to be here.
Congratulations. Oh, you already chewed through the hockey puck. Quick, get a new one.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's exciting. You're here on my first day.
Yeah, so we'll see. She'll either be very vicious or very nice. We don't know.
I'll start with being very nice.
Okay, perfect.
Okay? All right, so what's your reaction to that? Because this is just changing directions. All these insults, talking about your dad being orange, spray tanning, plastic surgery. Eric, what do you think about this?
Well, in fact, it's kind of a little bit sad, right? I mean, both these candidates, right, both the kind of opponents at this point, they're drowning. They're not doing very well. And, you know, so what are they doing? They're kind of bringing down on, you know, with them. And, you know, it's sad to see. We love our father. He's an amazing guy. He would do such an unbelievable job for this country.
I agree. It would be unbelievable. It's kind of like the misuse of the word incredible. That's incredible! You know what incredible means? It means unbelievable. It means not to be believed. Not credible. Yeah, oh well. It would be huge. Yeah, do continue, lads. Don't forget the duct tape.
Amazing businessman. He's an amazing negotiator. He's self-funding himself, right? I mean, all these guys, you know, including Rubio, being funded by super PACs. And, you know, it's just very, very sad to see that kind of dialogue.
It's almost like watching a reality show. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's just gotten ridiculous. Again, I think it's a desperate move, right? It's one thing if you have an aggressive personality and you've been known to have that for your entire life, like my father, right? Mm-hmm. It's another when you're, oh, we pretend to do this, and now my puppet masters will tell me what to say so that I can try to win some points. I think people will see through it. I don't think it comes across as genuine, and again, it's a desperate move.
A lot of people are saying that. A lot of people agree with you, saying it looks really desperate because that hasn't been his routine.
Correct. You can't be Mr. Nice Guy, and then all all of a sudden I'm Mr. Attack Guy because someone calls you weak and says you're not a tough guy. It doesn't play well, in my opinion. But again, I am my father's son, so I'm going to support him. But it is sad to see that this is where politics has gone, right? When you don't have a real record to talk about, right? Rick Santorum, who comes out, I'm for Rubio, he's great. What are our accomplishments? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. He hasn't done anything. And I mean, this is a guy that's running for president. Yeah. He's a half-term senator. I mean, we talk about Barack Obama that way. Oh, he had no experience. He never did anything. Cruz and Rubio, the same thing. It's sort of amazing. And I'm a conservative
like
saying that.
For the fact that he's not the establishment politician. They like the fact that he doesn't have any political
Correct.
Experience.
Sure.
Now, when I drive...
Oh, I tell you what, for her first day on the job, she's doing a job. Oh, God. Here we go. I brought up the You're So Uglies. Let's see, Ron in Canada. You're so ugly when you were born, they put tinted windows on your incubator. If ugliness were bricks, you'd be the Great Wall of China. Dad, Mexico! You know, these are the two sons of Trump. Sons of Trump. Sods. And then you just have to think about them being God. And there went dinner. Note coming in from Jack in Shreveport. So we could say that the beginnings of the entire Trump empire were funded by a Klansman. Why, yes, that's exactly what we could say. And Ray in Florida says, hail to the grief. Getting very concerned that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States. Look, all he's got to do is get through tomorrow, and it becomes very likely that he's the nominee. And only maybe Florida and California could slow that down. You see that happening? So then, he'll have a 50-50 chance. And we're dealing with the American electorate. And we're dealing with a Hillary Clinton who will probably get waxed by him. Bernie, not so much. I just don't have any confidence in Hillary as a campaigner. I think your fears are justified, Ray. I really think they are. I wish they wouldn't. I wish they weren't. We're not to the hockey puck part yet.
Around New York City, I see your dad's name on so many different buildings. He's been very successful. He says he's not going to release his tax returns, at least not right now. Now, you've got some of these politicians, like Ted Cruz, who's saying maybe he's not releasing them because he's connected to the mob. What's your reaction?
It's ridiculous. I mean, first of all, you know, anybody who knows anything about business realizes tax return shows you nothing about somebody's net worth and right what they've accomplished. And I think that is the greatest testament to our father. You drive around New York and you see, you know, some of the biggest buildings in the world. It's not just here in New York, but it's in Nevada, it's in Chicago.
It's not because he's a great builder. He's not, you know, he's not the pharaoh putting up pyramids. It's because he sells his name to people who want to hustle it.
All over California. I mean, what he's done over the course of his life is absolutely exceptional, and you know, he'll do that for the country. And listen, he's self-funding his campaign. I mentioned that before, right? And he lives an amazing life. He lives a great life. He doesn't need to be running for commander-in-chief, but this is his way of giving back to the country. I mean, this country's given him everything. It's given him us, right, Don and I and Ivanka and a great family. It's given him an amazing business. I mean, this is really his way of giving back, and he's sick of seeing what's happening to our nation.
Your dad's doing really well, and if you look at the map, he is really on schedule to win a lot of these states tomorrow. He's probably, if the polls are correct, going to go up against Hillary Clinton. Look at the map here. I mean, your dad's taking all of these red states right now. If he goes up against Hillary, this is what she was saying in South Carolina over the weekend. Take a listen, and I want to get your reaction.
Despite what you hear, we don't need to make America great again. America has never stopped being great. We do need to make America whole again. Instead of building walls, we need to be tearing down barriers.
She says America's already great.
Well, listen, America's a great country, but it's going down the wrong path. We want to fix it. We want to make it better than ever before. You know, I think the people that are my father's reaching out to, they're real hardworking American people. He's finally giving them a voice again. That's why this is a movement. This isn't a political thing. This is a movement. I mean, people.
Oh, see, now it's a movement. Somebody's bogarting some campaign philosophy, aren't they? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, they are.
People are supporting him because they haven't had a voice in such a long time, meaning hardworking Americans, the people that built this country. He's giving them that voice, and that's what's so incredible about it. You know, so
you're seeing that the turnout of the polls, right? In South Carolina the other day, the Democrats had an awful turnout. I mean, hardly anybody showed out to the polls. If you look at all the Republican states thus far, they've doubled, they've tripled their numbers. I mean, the excitement behind the GOP right now is incredible, and that's largely due to him and his personality and what he's saying.
Well, and he's bringing new people into the race. I mean, that's the biggest thing. People who haven't voted in 30 years, people who've been totally disenfranchised. You know, you think the people that have to historically,
You know, the Klan.
Hardly even voted Democrat. Big union guys. You think they're voting for Hillary Clinton? Or you think they're voting for Donald Trump, who's actually built something in their lives? These guys are all coming onto our side. It's going to be a historic turnout for the GOP.
All right, now, there are a lot of celebrities that don't agree with your dad, that don't think he's going to make America great. Listen to this.
I don't think that's America. I don't want it to be America. Maybe it's time for me to move.
If Donald Trump is the nominee, I'm open to support anyone while I'm also reserving my ticket to get out of here if he wins.
If any Republican gets nominated, I'm going to move to Canada with my entire family.
Will your dad miss them if they leave?
Not at all. I'll buy them their airfare.
I'll buy their airfare.
It's already,
that
you know,
the greatest endorsement.
I'm more than happy to chip in. Yes, please. If those are endorsements for Trump, you know, and that's the thing, you know, when you have the established.
You got that? Three people of color saying they don't want to live in an America where Donald Trump is president of the United States. This dick says that's an endorsement. That is an endorsement. Whew. Getting a little nervous. Who am I kidding? Getting a lot nervous. You know, a lot of the horrors that are perpetrated in authoritarian fascist states, they're not perpetrated by the leader. Not yet, Gerald. They're perpetrated by the zealous followers of the leader. And the people at the top just look away. Look the other way. Pretend it's not happening. Everything that happened on Kristallnacht was not done exclusively by members of the Nazi regime. They were done by ordinary Germans. Just like ordinary Americans who aren't put off by Donald Trump not being so sure that the Klan's a bad idea. A little while back, Kim in New York City said Scarborough acts like Trump is the only Republican candidate that believes these things. Does he really think that Rubio, Cruz, and many other Republicans wouldn't like to put forth a law that prohibits Muslims from entering the U.S.? Come on now! Absolutely, Kim. I've said as much. Little Marco Rubio had to run away with his tail tucked between his legs when the clavern that is the Republican caucus of the United States Congress damn near made him pee himself after he joined in with an extremely tepid and partially mean-spirited attempt at immigration reform. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time, he can't say enough nasty things about undocumented immigrants in this country. But see, he does it with the patina of political respectability. See how it works? Kim's right. It's not like Donald Trump is an outlier to the Republican Party. What Donald Trump is talking about, the reason he is resonating, isn't because there's no movement there. He's just created a little bit of space by speaking the things that average Republicans talk about amongst themselves all the time so that they can go out and get a little walk in the sunshine. Donald Trump is not a Republican. Donald Trump is the beating heart of the Republican Party. From A to Z. It's just that a lot of the elected Republicans know how to better camouflage it. Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, I've been filibustering along merrily, and I rather need a bit of a break. So we will take one, but not before I say thank you. Thank you to Thomas, who says, have a double leap. Okay, thanks to the secret open carry. What's my problem with that other part of the phrase? I want to say giddy up, but it's not giddy up. The Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, thanks to them, thanks to CEO Harold, Thomas just got rounded up on this leap day. Let's see, 2071, we add 29 cents from the Roundup Fund, that makes it 21, and then we add 30 and 20, 50 bucks you just got rounded up, Thomas, thank you. And Frederick just got rounded up to the tune of $64. Thank you very kindly. So that means there are now six slots remaining in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Leap Day Roundup. Six slots remaining. It matters not. $5 on up. Or, you know, whatever the minimum PayPal is, everything gets rounded up. Six more slots open. So let's take a break. And, you know, we could do a little conversating if you want. You know the number, 304-574-8178 on Skype. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. It's just that easy. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
old Germany, where I love to go.
There. And imagine that. In the space of a couple of years, we may go from the Confederate flag being taken down in South Carolina to it being raised over the White House. No kidding. Hey, it's the angry Indian. What's that?
Alabama.
Wait a minute. Time out. There. Stop the music. All better now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. I mean, what's up is what the fuck we're watching. You know, what we're seeing happen that was supposedly impossible. You have a motherfucker that makes a neo-Nazi addition to his American flag Twitter introduction, and he gets called on it and blames an intern. He quoted Mussolini in the past. He blamed an intern.
Yeah, he quoted Mussolini recently, didn't he?
Yeah. And this time he's confident.
I would rather spend
100 years as sheep or whatever the fuck, and rather live as a punk.
100 years as a sheep, something like that.
Well, the point is, I'd rather die than live as a punk. You know, so I'll bully every fucking buddy else. You know, I mean that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, look, it's a Mussolini quote.
You know, so you know he was raised by socialists, but he was a bully. He was like Trump. Trump was sent to, you know, when you look at his family history, he was sent to military school because his parents couldn't control him. He was picking fights with people all the goddamn time. He was pushing around his classmates. Said he sent his ass to military school to fucking give him some discipline. He's a bully. He's always been a fucking bully. So, you know, it's not a big goddamn surprise that he would be, oh, I don't want to be associated with David Duke because he's a Klansman, and I don't want to be associated with that kind of shit. Those guys are crazy. To now, oh, I don't know anything about it, David Duke. Is he bad? Send me the information, and I'll look and see if he's bad. I'm running for president, but I don't know if the KKK is a terrorist organization or not. I'm running for president, but I don't know about the most prominent white fucking supremacist in American politics in the fucking 20th century. I don't know anything about him. I'm just a grown goddamn man of my age group, and I don't know anything, you know? And now Ivana, people have gone back to Vanity Fair, and they said, wait a minute, didn't she tell the reporter that that motherfucker read Mein Kampf every goddamn night?
That he had his speeches on his nightstand.
That's right. So, I mean, how much more in your fucking face can you get? He's now been endorsed by Marie Le Pen all the fucking way in France.
Yeah, I saw that too.
In my latest broadcast, we talked about the fact that he's quoting Enoch Powell, who talked about immigrants and the black man will take the whip hand and beat the white man in the streets of London, you know. He's copying the same thing. The National Socialists in Scotland are now pumping for Trump in England, saying that finally our movement has become international. Finally, they understand.
God,
we got to control the Jews. We got to stop the
Muslims. Neo-Nazis in Germany must be going wild.
They're loving it. Look at their websites. They're loving it. Like I said, he will do anything to get fucking elected at this goddamn point. And if he can get support from the fucking Nazis, he'll take it. Yeah, they got problems with his Israel stance because he hasn't talked about hating the Jews yet. So, you know, they got criticism about that, right? But, you know, every bully that I can think of that is in my periphery and online are Trump supporters, and they're not all white.
Yeah, now consider, bless his heart, Lindsey Graham got the vapors at the Washington Press Club dinner the other day. I'm sure you saw that, angry. He said the Republican Party has gone batshit crazy.
Oh, I heard about it. Yeah. Well.
Wrong verb tense.
You know. Well, they got a cop on like they didn't know.
Crazy a long ass time ago. Or how about the Republican Party is batshit crazy?
Brother Bob, they got to cop on to the fact. It's just, look. We're watching the same thing again, but in goddamn fucking reverse. You know, Obama was a Putney Swope motherfucking moment. I've said that in print. Nobody really fucking expected him to get in. It was a lock. But the money said, we need a motherfucking black face so we can rip up Africa and stop the other brown people who hate us and open up these goddamn trade borders and stop their fucking extremists and shit by shutting them up, by saying, look at Obama. And it worked for a little while. But then Al-Qaeda ended up getting punked out by the motherfucking Daesh, the Islamic goddamn state. And I want to not go on a tangent, but to point out to the listeners that a communist group of women fighters in, I want to say Yemen, they fucking assassinated a goddamn ISIS motherfucker last week. And no one in the mainstream news is reporting this, that the women over there have lost so many husbands. They've lost so many sons. That they've been fighting Daesh on their fucking own, and they're dying out there. But they finally assassinated one of these guys that they reported, and mainstream media hasn't said a goddamn thing. Iran is fighting Daesh. Hamas, for you know, as fucked up as it is fighting Daesh. Hezbollah is fighting fucking Daesh.
Meanwhile, another unreported thing. The last few days, they had elections in Iran.
Yeah, and the moderates got in, the reformists.
Yeah, the reformists got in. And you know what's interesting? Their hardliners were saying, this deal with America will destroy Iranian security, blah, 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 blah. And they got their asses handed to them.
Yep.
Oddly enough, though, the hardliners in Iran were saying the mirror image Farsi version of what the Republican Party is saying here.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, you know, ever since they've had Ahmadinejad get the fuck out of there, who was their version of George Bush, if we're going to make comparisons, you know, loose ones.
Yeah, Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, even his own political party was saying he's really Jewish, you know. You know, to try to badjack him. Well, the name Ahmadinejad has a Jewish background in Persia. So there's always been, his political adversaries have been saying that about him since the Iranian Revolution, that you can't really trust him, you know, he's Jewish. It's that type of craziness that goes on. The same thing over there. But, you know, the average Iranian who has a right to vote said, wait a goddamn minute. You know, I got my issues with the fucking West. They overturned our goddamn government. You know, Mossadegh was totally knocked out, and they totally fucked us over and put the Shah in, and we lost a lot of goddamn family members. But I want to move forward. So this is the way that they're voting. They're not opening themselves up to abuse. They're saying, we need people that can fucking see a future. And, you know, waiting for the Supreme, you know, Council to fucking make their yay or nay, because these are the old men who decide whatever the fuck everybody's going to do. And they're like, no, you know, we have somewhat of a democracy here. We're going to fucking take advantage of it. And I applaud them for that. I really goddamn do. But, you know, back to the fascism we're dealing with over here, it's a pretty odd thing now that you mention that, because you have a lot of countries that, you know, now that they've allowed to vote, they're voting progressively, not necessarily left, but they're voting progressively. Now, they went that way in Australia, but they got fucked, right? You know, and they had to kick the guy out. Then they had, you know, the woman in, and then that didn't goddamn work. And then you see this bit going on. Then you got Key in New Zealand. You see Jeremy Corbyn. You see the Greek finance minister who was now the advisor to Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party in the UK. So there's change happening. And then, as, you know, Professor Noam Chomsky has recently said, when you look at the rise of Donald Trump, when you look at the rise of Le Pen, when you look at the rise of the far right in Germany, even though they didn't really win any seats against the Democrats, the white world, he said, is fading. And this is reactionary. And basically, and I agree with him on this point.
It's also anthropology.
Well, yeah, I mean, to some degree, but I still worry about the fallout from this. And see, and I just, if, you know, anybody who follows me on Twitter knows, you know, I get into it with a lot of black revolutionaries all the time because they're ready to just fight. And I'm like, fight for what, how, where to, you know, what's the system going to be? How's this going to go? We can't even fucking get our own shit together in terms of a community goddamn picnic. So, you know, how the fuck are we going to do this? And what I'm concerned about is because white people in power, and because of Arabs in the Arab world in power, because they have a goddamn colorism hierarchy there, by not educating people, by not, you know, culturating people, but now allowing these populations to mature, when they do get power, they don't know how to fucking run things, and then shit fucks up every goddamn buddy, and then you have more goddamn problems on top of what the fuck you were dealing with. Look at Zimbabwe. And in many ways, you can say, look at Haiti. You know, they didn't know how to run the government, not because they were stupid, but because they didn't have the fucking training. If they can't work the goddamn machines that the previous fucking system left, how's the thing gonna goddamn function? No one's taking account into that. And see, Trump is this type of fucker who gets the type of white voter who says, I don't want to pay for public school because I don't have a child in public school, so I shouldn't have to pay for fucking public school. And, you know, if these niggas and spicks and fucking Indians don't get goddamn educated, then somehow that gives me a jump on the system because I have more control. No, it doesn't really, because these people have to work. You can't do it all by your goddamn self. They got to run the fucking machines. They have to be the administrators. They have to go out there and deal with the fucking public for these things. Anybody who's been to the DMV knows what the fuck I'm talking about. So, you know, by not educating the population, then you have a bunch of people who aren't ready for any fucking thing, given leadership roles that they may not fucking not only be prepared for, but may not motherfucking want.
There was a moment today during today's Dr. Bill broadcast, Angry, where he was talking about one of those terrifying surveys, studies, whatever, that comes out periodically. 80% of some group of Americans, you know, statistically relevant, could not work out the cost per square foot of a room of carpet.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, if the carpet is $1 a square foot and you've got a room that's 10 by 10, how much is the carpet? 80% of America can't do that.
Even with paper and pencil?
Especially with paper and pencil.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look, you know, the U.S. military, I don't know what the exam is like now, but, you know, just for the hell of it, I took the...
ASVAB.
Yeah, whatever it was called. And just to see, you know, what my score would be. And because I was thinking about Navy at that time and, you know, like the rest of my family. And fucking, I'm looking at this. I'm like, who the fuck couldn't pass this, you know?
Oh, and no. I remember a million years ago, me and my best friend, thank you very much, sitting down in high school because we had to take it. They forced us to take it.
Yeah.
And we were both, you know, we both were, and you know, we were just, yeah, okay, because they made us talk to them. And so I talked to the Navy, and they're like, would you like a nuclear submarine?
Man, they were offering me women.
No, seriously, like, you scored in the 99th percentile. You can do anything in the Navy that you want to.
That you want to do, mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I think I want to go to college.
Yeah, well, I didn't turn it in. I just took it. And I just remember saying, you know, this is easy. And the desk sergeant said, look, kid, you know how many fucking guys can't even tell me what's on page one? He's like, you know, we're really having a hard time. And if you really, you know, give a fuck about the country and care about yourself, you know, you really need to join, you know. And I thought it was just bullshit, you know. And then I found out later on watching some of my friends, you know, kids going to the military who had to take the exam three times. It's like, wait a minute, you know, what the fuck, man? How did you, three goddamn times you had to keep going back? Yeah, well, you know, they gave me a chance. And I'm like, they gave you a chance? I'm like, fuck, three times. And I'm like, what the hell has changed? And I would think that, you know, they would ask for more in terms of education. You would think with the police, fire department, they've asked for at least college. But see, we know now that if your IQ is too goddamn high, you can't get hired as a fucking police officer in some areas of the United States. I wonder why that is. And this is what Trump represents. Remember, he loves the undereducated.
Yeah, he said so, didn't he?
Yeah. He also said that he could do mass murder and wouldn't lose one goddamn voter.
And I think it's true.
And he also said that...
And that's what this Klan thing is. He can not denounce the Klan and not lose a voter.
Well, yeah, but he wants to hold on to that shit now, too. And especially now that he's getting international goddamn hay from this. His ego and the ego of his fucking people is such that they know their own population. And their propagandists, if I was him, would say, yeah, you know what, keep pumping this shit because, look, it's just getting you more fucking attention. And all the bigots are just going to come out of the goddamn woodwork and they're going to vote for you. We're going to fuck them all later like we did with the Night of the Long Fucking Knives, you know. We're going to get rid of Ernst Röhm and the rest of them and shit, you know, figuratively. We're going to, you know, just remove them. And we're going to do what the fuck we want to do. We all know full well if Trump gets in there, he's going to run the country the way he runs business. He's going to allow shit like what happened in Flint to be nationwide. You want to vote? He's going to find a goddamn way to keep you from voting if you don't like him. He's already talking about suing journalists who are fucking writing shit that he doesn't like.
Right, yeah, he's going to tighten up the libel laws. But the thing is, he'll have to have a compliant Congress to do that. And here's the question. Will they all just sort of get in line? I mean, we've seen that happen before. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Did I see this right earlier? I think Carol pointed it out to me. The Attorney General of Kansas has now endorsed Trump.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but so has goddamn... Dancing with the Stars, just saw him recently. My wife was just like, what the fuck? Why is he here? The cat that fucked himself up with the goddamn motorcycle shit, the actor, Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got Gary Busey support. He's got Mike Tyson support. He's got Dennis Rodman support. He's got Ann Coulter, half-ass. Glenn Beck is working against him, but it's like, but Glenn Beck, you helped create this.
Well, but Glenn Beck's chosen guy is Cruz. And Glenn Beck has this entire cadre. For instance, Isaac pointed out a story to me over the weekend. Remember that phony bullshit historian that Beck has, David Barton?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so dude just recently said, I don't understand why blacks just can't be grateful for all the wonderful things white people have done for them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, Trump
now,
Jr.
Now,
is...
Now, where is the call, to be fair? Because that's some pretty white supremacist shit, too. Where is the call for Ted Cruz to disavow that? Because he's in... I mean, in Nevada, Trump walked in and just walked all over Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is in Cruz's corner, And David Barton is part of that too. Where's the call for him to, for Cruz to disavow that shit? Nowhere, angry, because right now the Spats and Greaves kind of segment of the party is having a shit hemorrhage.
You just hit me what you said, yeah. Okay, I got that. Yeah, well, you know, look, there's a freak out going on in both ends, which really, if we're going to be objective, shows the weaknesses of the, not just both parties, or the fact that there's just a limited two-party system and then some weak independence, right, that tends to be, you know, lean to the right. But it just shows the entire weakness of the electorate. You know, the average voter, the average Joe Sixpack, you know, Joe Q Public, whatever the fuck, Joe Blow, what have you, in terms of your influence, be it one man, one vote, or just your influence and your local representatives on how they can lean on the candidate to go one way or the other. We're looking at the DNC through Debbie Wasserman Schultz cause a breakdown where you have the one of the other heads of the DNC from Hawaii step down so she could support Bernie Sanders.
Tulsi Gabbard, and by the way, there is breaking news, Angry. I don't know if you're aware of this. Something that people have been waiting to see if it would happen for a very long time now. This news it just came across a little bit ago. I want you to hear this and see what you think. Senator Sanders has served this country and the people of Vermont with integrity. He understands that a political system rigged in favor of the wealthy and the big banks is not a sustainable system. The movement behind Senator Sanders has made it abundantly clear the American people have had enough. Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, good, finally, because people were pushing her to make a statement, and that just makes sense. And that's a ticket that I think
I wonder if Elizabeth Warren's going to hell now.
Yeah, there are people that are going to come down on her, and the Republicans are going to go to the Native American community and try to hype up the controversy she got into a few years back, because she is she claimed in a book, or still claiming, I suppose, to some degree or another, to be of Cherokee descent, which, okay, a whole lot of white people are. That's the whitest fucking nation in the goddamn United States, possibly. But see, now people are fact-checking her on that, and she hasn't been definitive. So, I mean, if they want to do DNA, I don't know what the fuck. I mean, there's five different goddamn scrolls with that particular, assimilated motherfucking nation.
What I found interesting out of the New York Times account of Senator Warren's endorsement, Angry, for some reason or another, the author of this piece, namely Jonathan Martin and Alexander Burns, made a call to Barbara Boxer's office, of all places.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And she said, I have the utmost respect for my colleague, Senator Warren, and the important work she's doing. It's unfortunate that she isn't supporting Hillary, but I'm sure she will be an ardent supporter if Mrs. Clinton is to win the nomination.
Well, I like you said, you know, you're not surprised, right?
This is the best one. Anthony Weiner.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter pick Anthony Weiner. Bernie's a single-issue candidate. Senator Warren obviously wants to rein in Wall Street, but she hasn't really talked much about anything else during her time on Capitol Hill. Seems like she's just being faithful to her brand.
Well, yeah there's
no,
that.
But Angry, these people don't understand that there really is a problem.
No, they understand that there's a problem, but they're excusing it. They know that there's a problem. It's just like we know sometimes, you know, hey, you want to see my new baby? Yeah. And the child is really not all that motherfucking pretty. You tell the mother, yeah, your kid's fucking twisted. You know, no, you don't say that. You say the most positive thing because you want to fucking come across as this is good. But if they fucking turn around and start speaking the truth about Trump, they have to talk about the core of what it is that they're really fucking about. Does anybody want to have that fucking discussion? Really?
Not so much.
You know, who wants to really fucking talk about that? It's like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is trying to reverse. You know, there are people now talking about let's pray as evangelicals to get Trump out. It's too fucking late. You have created fucking you are the Frankenstein scientist that has created the fucking monster that you cannot fucking control any goddamn more. This is what has happened on the fucking GOP. And in terms of the DNC, they got Clinton. The money's on Clinton. She's already sold herself to these fucking people. And if she gets pushed out of the fucking way, their investment is gone. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz evidently is, you know, is saying, hey, we can't fuck with the program. You can't do Sanders. You just can't goddamn do it. What the fuck? Minimize him. They are censoring anti-Hillary shit on Twitter. And admitting that they are, because the fucking head of Twitter...
Yeah, the hashtag Witch Hillary?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Well, the idea was, it still Goldwater Hillary, conservative Hillary, or is this this new thing with Hillary? Because even the... my wife...
No. It arose after the super predators thing.
Well, that too. But people started connecting the Goldwater bit to it, other folks, because a lot of her imagery is what Goldwater was using when she was a Goldwater girl. So they're trying to make those connections for some people, but it's a fucked up connection, you know, for those of us who remember Barry Goldwater. You know, I mean, we can clown him for his belief in UFOs and all that shit, but Malcolm X said at least, you know, he was the most honest white man in the fucking U.S. government. At least with him, you knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he turned around and became a fucking pal to Alice Cooper and all that kind of shit later on. But, you know, at least he was an honest motherfucking Republican. And even he said, let people fucking have a job. You know, none of the old school Republicans, even the old school Democrats, like goddamn axe wielding. Help me here.
Who sold the axe?
Lester Maddox. Even he was like, you got to let niggas work or they don't pay taxes. They, you know, they got fucked up houses and we got to pay for their kids. Give them a goddamn job. You know, Trump isn't feeling like that. Pay him out. He said, what did he say? All of the GOP said, everybody in America makes too much, and the fuck if they're supporting $15 goddamn dollars an hour. But the same fuckers who are begging for work are saying, I'm voting for Trump. He says he doesn't think you should make $15 an hour. They got it in their mind. He doesn't mean for you to make $15 an hour, black boy. I'm going to get my money because it's Trump. That's the attitude. Just like you had a handful of black folks that thought that when Obama came in, they were going to get a check. You know, they really did, because they don't understand the system and they're living on hope. These white folks that are backing Trump are living on hope. The jobs are gone. The infrastructure's fucked up. White people did it, but they need to blame somebody. So they blame, you know, immigrants, some Jewish conspiracy in the government, which is David Duke's whole goddamn thing. David Duke hates Jews to his fucking being, his entire podcast.
Right. See, and that's another part of the whole Jake Tapper. I mean, like I said, my favorite part of that interview is the end of it. Yeah, okay. I mean, where's the, sir, David Duke is a notorious anti-Semite. Do you feel the same way as David Duke does about Jews?
And where's Netanyahu? Where's the Hasbara lobby? Where's every fucking buddy who put me on the goddamn anti-Semite list, because I fucking say the Palestinians have a right to live? Where are they when it comes to Trump? They're no motherfucking where. They're nowhere. They're questioning Bernie Sanders and whether or not he's going to fucking make a point about being a Jew. He says that's not the issue with me. They're on his ass. But are they questioning Trump? No. Where is Netanyahu in AIPAC when it comes to Trump being supported by David Duke? That's the question for America. That's the question for America, because the answer to that question is what the fuck America has been about since 1776.
Right, and that's that. We got to get out of here, but that's the heart and soul of my contention. We've got a bigger problem than we thought. Or to get all Jawsy on us, you know, we're going to need a bigger boat. Because
yeah.
There's a hell of a lot more racists and bigots and xenophobes and homophobes and... etc. This country is a lot worse than people think it is.
And hey, I want to say this real quick before I go out. You know, don't think because you're white that you're safe. They put a whole lot of white people in the goddamn camps and ovens fucking too, because they were trying to protect their Jewish and fucking gypsy neighbors. So think about that shit while we're looking at what's happening with election 2016, and support the Bob Kincaid Show. Peace.
Thank you, Angry. Bye now. Wow, what a night. It's time to get out of here. Thanks so much to the Secret Open Carry Roundup Society. Why can't I hang on to that last part of it? For tonight's Leap Day Roundup, Thank you very kindly. Six slots remain. Every contribution gets rounded up by $29 plus loose change. Thank you very kindly, one and all. I got to get out of here. Y'all have a great night. Gina, always, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.